Oil and flour. Basically, oil and flour that mixed together. And they were, well, it's something, they were different pans. There were, sometimes there were deeper pans, and there were deep pans, or there were thinner pans that could become very, very wafery or crackery, and sometimes it could be very soft and doughy. It's like a dish pizza, what's it called? A deep pan pizza and regular pizza, right? Different doughs, depending on how you make depending on how you like your heartburn, right? So the mitzvah over here is that the Kohanim are not allowed to make it into yeast. Now the idea over here is as follows. Remember we spoke about, what does chametz represent? Chametz puffing up represents what?
Arrogance.
The arrogance, the evil, the yetzer hara of arrogance. We said that is the root of all negative character traits, even physical desire, right? Selfishness, we understand. Envy, we understand. All of these things we understand, even physical desire, where a person treats himself well physically, is essentially an offshoot of arrogance, an offshoot of his ego, that he feels, well, since I am whatever I am, I deserve to be treated well, right? I deserve to have a good meal, I deserve to have a good sleep, because, after all, it's me, right? And I deserve it, right? And therefore, essentially, these are all offshoots of gaiva, of arrogance. Now, the Gemara makes the following statement. There's a man named Rabbi Alexandri. Rav Alexandri. The name Alexander, by the way. Have you ever heard the name Alexander? The name Alexander is actually a name that is accepted in Jewish circles. Right? Sometimes you'll hear somebody called up to the Torah. Very bizarre. Somebody called up to the Torah. Yamod Avram Yitzchak ben Yankiv Alexander. You think, how'd that get in there? What's Alexander doing in, what they call it? Alexander is a Jewish name. Because at a certain point in history, Alexander the Great, one of the great personalities in history, Alexander the Great was marching on Yerushalayim. At a certain point, they convinced him not to sack Yerushalayim. And he gave the Jewish people, the Medrash says, I don't remember, it's a Medrash somewhere, I don't remember where it is, but I remember seeing the Medrash says, he presented the Jewish people with a statuette of himself. He said, here's a gift, here's a statuette of me, you can put it in the base of Mikdash, right? All right, this is your gift, right? It's like giving your mother a cookbook for Mother's Day. Right, here, mom, you're giving your wife, a cookbook for Mother's Day, right? Yeah, or giving your social companion a picture of yourself. Right, give your girlfriend a picture of yourself for her birthday. Right. So Alexander the Great gives the Jewish people a statue of himself. He says, "Here's a statue of me. You could put it in the base of Mikdash." Right. So the Jewish people obviously do not like having statues at all, and statues in the base of Mikdash especially are problematic. So they said to Alexander, how about if instead of that, all male children born this year will name them after you? And Alexander said, hey, yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah. You like that idea? So that became, from that point on, Alexander became a Jewish name. Right? All the Jewish children that year were born and named Alexander. And I must be confusing for the teachers in the schools, right? Alexander Cohen, Alexander Cohen. I had to call them by the last names, right? But they were all named Alexander. And that's where he became. So you might have heard the name Sender. You ever heard somebody refer to a Sender? Yeah. Sender is short for Alexander. Alexander. They name a kid. It's like, you have a kid named, Chaim Sender Schwartz, right? And Sender is a proper Jewish name. So there's a man in the Talmud named Rav Alexandri. Now, Rav Alexandri said, after davening in the morning, he would say to God the following thing. Now, listen to this statement. He would say, we want to do your will. You say, Almighty Hashem, we want to do your will, but it's the yeast in the dough and the severity of the exile that stops us. Right? That means, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're really, essentially, inherently good people, and we really want to do your will. We really want to do what you want us to do. Except there are two things stopping us from doing what you want us to do. The yeast in the dough and the difficult oppression that we're going through in the exile. That's what's stopping us from doing what you want to do. Right? Very strange statement. Right? What do you mean, the yeast in the dough? Right? You mean you had too much yeast in your dough this morning? Well, what about the yeast in the dough? What's stopping you from doing God's will? What about the oppression? Right? So the answer is as follows. According to one of the commentaries, this is what it means. Have you ever heard of the golden path, the Rambam's golden path? What's the golden path in the service of God? The golden path, the best way a person can serve God is what we call walking the middle path. That means not going to the extreme in any direction. Everything in this lifestyle has to be made up of balance, right? To be too involved in physical pleasures is no good. To detach oneself from physical pleasures completely, that's also no good. You have to draw a balance somewhere in the middle where you'll be using the world to maintain equilibrium, to fulfill your own needs so that you can maintain balance and a sense of well-being. On the other hand, stop before it becomes an indulgence for indulgence's sake. Selfishness. Is selfishness a good character trait? Well, too much selfishness is not a good character trait. On the other hand, being overly generous is also not good, because then you're going to give away. You see that you're limited to how much tzedakah you can give. You have to find the middle path, find the balance. Even ego. Is ego a good thing? Well, to certain, too much ego leads to arrogance. It's not a good thing. On the other hand, not enough ego is a very big problem. Without enough ego, a person suffers from problems of a low self-esteem. Like the Musar books, right? If a person didn't have any ego at all, he wouldn't care how he looked. He wouldn't care how he dressed. He'd walk around with dirty, soiled clothing, without bathing. So that's no good. There's got to be a balance. There's got to be a very, very delicate balance. Says Rabbi Alexandri, what is it that's preventing us from walking the middle path? What's preventing us from walking the middle path is that we're constantly being pushed to extremes. What's pushing us to extreme? On the one hand, we're being pushed to an extreme by the yeast in the dough, meaning instead of being able to maintain a balance between humility and arrogance, we're constantly being pushed by the Yetzer Hara, the yeast in the dough. The same way that the yeast makes the dough puff up, the Yetzer Hara is pushing us, the evil inclination is pushing us all the way to an extreme and puffing us up. So we've lost our balance, we've lost our sense of humility. What about in the other direction? In the other direction, we also suffer, we're being pushed to an extreme. Because what does the exile do to us? The oppression of the exile, what is the goal of the nations? To push us down, to beat us into the ground. That's an extreme where we're being pushed to the other extreme, where we're completely, completely without any ego at all, where we're insignificant. Well, it's very difficult to find the balance. It's Rabbi Alexandri's way of saying to God that whatever we're doing, please have mercy on us, because it's really not our fault. Right? We're being pushed in too many different directions to the extremes. We don't have the opportunity to walk the middle path. That's the idea. The idea of walking the middle path, by the way, is a fundamental in Avodah Hashem. It's fundamental in serving God. Right? Person has to always find the proper balance. Right? You find people making this mistake, erring in both directions. Right? Sometimes people are too generous, sometimes people are not generous enough. Person has to know, sometimes people don't like saying no. People find it difficult to say no. Right? Person has to know, sometimes to say no is a mitzvah also. Right? To say no is a mitzvah. If you let yourself be taken too far, right, then you're left with nothing for yourself. You can't serve Hashem that way. It ends up leading to depression. That's the most unhealthy form of serving God. Right? So in every area, there's got to be this middle, this balance. Right? Incidentally, you know the definition of humility. Right? You work with the definition of people, and people often mistake. What is humility? Humility is not denial. Let's first start with what it is not. Humility is not denial. That means if a person accomplishes, let's say you paint this beautiful painting, somebody comes and says, hey, did you paint? That is absolutely gorgeous, right? Many people think humility is to say, no. What do you think no about? I mean, no. What's no? You didn't paint it? That's not humility, it's a lie. Now, you did paint it. So what are you saying no about? What is the proper humility? Under those circumstances, how is it even possible to be humble? Somebody walks over and says, wow, that's a gorgeous painting. Calls in a room full of people, painting experts. They all come running at her and say, wow, that is a gorgeous painting. That's unbelievable. That would get millions at an auction. At Sotheby's in London, that would get millions. Right? How do you possibly remain humble under the circumstances? What's the answer? How could you? Is it possible? It has to be possible. How do you remain humble? Correct. humility, the definition of humility is recognizing where that ability came from. Not denial. Not denial. You did it. You know you did it. It was your hand, it was your paintbrush, it was your canvas. Humility is that you ascribe the ability, you attribute the ability to be able to do such a thing to God. Moshe Rabbeinu is called in the Torah the most humble man. Who wrote those words? Who wrote those words? Moshe Rabbeinu. How's that sound?
There was no one as humble as me.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
There was no,
right? That's humility? Right? The answer is it's exactly what humility is. Even the trait of humility, person has to know whether he's truly humble or not. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu knew exactly what he was. You think Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what he was? You think Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that his face was glowing? You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, he had to put on a mask because the people were afraid to come up to him because he had some type of spiritual light coming out of his face because he was face to face, so to speak, with God, as close as a human being could possibly experience the divine presence. Do you think that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was humble? All the people are walking over to him and say, oh my goodness, right? And he eventually has to put on a mask, right? Because he's glowing. He glows in the dark now. Do you think he was aware of that? Think he was aware he was walking around with a mask? Right? So what's he going to say? No, I'm not on any higher spiritual level than you. Of course I'm on a higher spiritual level. He knows this. He's come into contact with God. He knows that anytime anybody needs to communicate with God, they've got to come to him. So he knows what he is. Person knows what his talents are. If you got a talent, if you're good at math, or if you're a good athlete, whatever your talents are, you know what you are. The true humility is not denying your talents. True humility is that you don't for a second think that it's anything you've done. That's true humility. And who was the most humble man? Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble man. That means he had the clearest, it has to do with also his level of prophecy. He had the clearest, the clearer your perception that there is a God, the clearer will be, or the greater will be your level of humility. Because the more you know there's a God, the more you realize how insignificant you are. Right? So even if you look very big, the more you realize God, the analogy they always use is you got a little cup of water standing next to a pitcher of water, and a little cup of water. Right? And the pitcher is looking down at the cup. Right? He's a pitcher. He's much bigger. Right? Then the pitcher and the cup are placed right at the edge of the sea. Right? Pitcher feel arrogant at this point? No arrogance at all. Because he realizes what there is beyond him. Right? But once he realized that, that is a tremendous... Do I know that I'm bigger than you? I know that I'm bigger than you. But so what? What am I, if when all is said and done, what am I really? What am I really compared to a bigger body? Moshe Rabbeinu recognized, clearly sees God, that clarity of vision and seeing God, That is the way a person reaches humility. So the true humility is that a person, the closer you get to God, the more chance you have of becoming humble. Because the greater, the more you realize God, the more humility there will be. Right? That's the idea of humility, and that's what Rabbi Zalman is diving for, and that's the idea of not having any type of yeast in their mincha for the climbing. Okay? We have to be careful nowadays. The last thing a person should work on is humility. Nowadays, the last thing, we need arrogance. You know, if we didn't have any arrogance, if we didn't have any ego, we wouldn't accomplish anything in life at all. It's only after we finish. Use your ego. Use your ego. Develop an ego. That's the last thing to work on. Because without an ego at all, the person will just sit in the corner right now, you know, do nothing. Right? First accomplish, and then try working and breaking the ego. I told you, I heard a story about a guy who went to his Rosh Yeshiva. The guy came into his Rebbe. He said, Rebbe, you know, the Yeshiva guy who's really working on his character and his development. He comes into his Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I have a very big problem. My ego, my gaiva is just running away with, I'm having trouble controlling my gaiva, controlling my arrogance. So the Rebbe looked at him. You? You? What have you got to be arrogant about? Right? That was it. Instant cure for any type of trouble with arrogance. Right? But the truth is, but after all is said and done, a person has to be very careful because I've seen it. I've seen a guy who tries working, and sometimes you can walk around trying to be humble. I'm sure Rabbi, you must have heard Rabbi Tatz told you a story of the guys in the shul. He must have told you a story. These two very intense Musar students are in a base medrash, right? And they're learning Musar together. One of them sitting there, you must have heard this story, one of them sitting there going, I am a worm, I am a worm, right? The The second guy sitting next to him is, I am a worm. I am a worm. Right? The guy walks into the base. Imagine if he takes a look at these two. And he sees the two of them sitting there. So he sits down next to him and he goes, I am a worm. I am a worm. So the first one looks at the other. Look, he thinks he's a worm. Right? That means that even humility, you can walk around. You can walk around trying to be humble, thinking to yourself, I am so humble, right? And these people don't even realize whose presence they're in. They are in the presence of the humblest of the humble, right? That itself is arrogance, right? That itself is arrogance. It's one of the ironies. That itself is arrogance. So that's the idea. So the Kohanim are not allowed to have any type of yeast, any type of leavening agent in their mincha. Okay?